Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Real Talks. I'm your host, David Steele. Hope everybody is having a fabulous day. Let's just jump right into this because there is a lot to get to. So, anyways, a couple things. Well, let's just jump right into it, and I'll talk about the couple things after. So, as we all know, there is a movie coming out this weekend, and it's a Disney movie. And I'm talking about The Little Mermaid. And this is actually one of, so this is about the fifth or sixth remake that Disney has done. So all of their animated shows, or I shouldn't say shows, but all of their animated movies, okay, they have gone for the past, I would say, 5 to 7 years, and they have remade. I'm talking about films like Beauty and the Beast, Cinderella, you know, Aladdin, and so on. And they've all been moneymakers. The Lion King. The Lion King actually made over $1 billion. So this is another one of those films that's beloved across the world. And basically, they are going to remake this. And they have remade it. And so this is actually coming out this weekend, as I may have mentioned. And it opened last night. So it's always curious. I'm always curious to see, you know, while I personally do not count them as box office because I'm a traditionalist, it's always Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for me. You know, a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's one of those things. So anyways, the reason I bring this up is because this actually had a very big preview, a very big night in previews. So according to the THR, it made $10.3 million in previews. The Little Mermaid grossed $10.3 million in previews in the North American box office as the long Memorial Day weekend commences. That's one of the best showings ever for the screenings before the holiday weekend. Little Mermaid's tally includes $850,000 in grosses from special screenings Wednesday, last night. The rest is from traditional Thursday evening shows. Overall, The Little Mermaid ranks number 7 among the top preview grosses for G and PG films. Rob Marshall directs the live-action remake of Disney's beloved animated film. The new Little Mermaid stars Halle Berry as Ariel, whose picture's there, the spirited young mermaid who makes a dangerous deal with an evil sea witch, Ursula, played by Michelle McCarthy, in order to experience life on land and meet the dashing Prince Eric. The pack, however, poses risk to her father's watery kingdom, and he is played by Javier Bardem, Academy Award winner. The cast also includes David Diggs, Awkwafina, Javier Bardem, who I just made mention of, Jacob Tumley, and Art Malik. Bailey's performance as Ariel has drawn praise from critics amongst a racist backlash from social media commentators posing the casting of a black actress in the title role. Disney insiders don't expect this to be these protesters to hurt the film in North America, but are waiting to see how the film plays in certain overseas markets. The Little Mermaid is pacing to earn as much as $120 million for the four-day weekend. That would mark the fifth biggest domestic start for Memorial Day, a ranking currently held by Disney's live-action Aladdin, which opened to $116 million over the four-day weekend after grossing $7 million in previews. Movie's four-day haul is expected to be a three-day gross over $100 million. Pre-sales are pacing well ahead of Aladdin, but behind fellow action remakes Beauty and the Beast and The Lion King. Overall, the movie is tracking for an $80 million opening through Sunday. Interest is driven by girls, moms, and other females similar to Beauty and the Beast, whose audience is 70% female. The movie features a score from multiple Oscar winner Alan Menken, as well as new songs from Lin-Manuel Miranda. Okay, let's talk about this. This is, I think a lot of people, you know, they get that, they say enough is enough already with these Disney remakes, so to speak, because they're just trying to cash in on what they already have. I've always said this, the remakes, in this case, live action, the fact is that it's still, you know, you still have the original animated film. So it's not like you are It's not like those are being taken away from you. And I think that that being said, look, I think she's going to do fabulous as Ariel, okay? And regardless, I think that you're always going to have your naysayers, okay? You're always going to have your naysayers. Oh, her hair is not red enough, or she's African-American. Look, as long as she does a good job, okay, and she's, I mean, that's why, look, that's why Disney cast her, right? They thought she was very good for the job. And it's one of those pictures where she's, there's a multitude of things here, okay? Number one, she's able to inspire young women and young girls, okay? Number two, she's doing that. She probably remembers being in that same position watching the animated Little Mermaid all those years ago. So she never thought she'd actually get a chance to play Ariel. Number three, this is a position in which no matter, and I was just saying this, no matter what you do, no matter how good you think, you know, you're always going to have naysayers. Just go out there and be the very best you can. As far as it tracking, look, we're now starting to see more and more films, okay? I mean, look what Super Mario did. They opened on a Wednesday as well, and they made about over $200 million for 5 days, And that we're starting to see more and more films do this. Now, granted, that was an IP and everybody knew it. I understand that. But that being said, we're starting to see more and more franchises and studios do this. And we're going to come to a story next in a couple minutes in which we have another movie that's moving from a Friday to a Wednesday. So all that being said, it's not about the money. It is about the money, let's face it. But it's about their confidence in the movie. And I think that this is a good thing. I mean, look, this is going to take home a lot of money, and it's going to have to. It's going to have to, because we have, you know, as we progress through this summer, there are going to be a lot of films that once June starts, forget about it. I mean, forget about it. I just did a story the other day that Across the Spider-Verse, okay, the rave reviews that, you know, first reactions out of that, that's tracking for $70 million. We got a story coming up with another tracking story. And I think that once June begins, look out, because it's going to be a dog-eat-dog kind of thing. You've got four major, major, major films coming out in the month of June, okay? You've got Across the Spider-Verse coming out in the 2nd. You've got Transformers coming out in the 9th, okay? You've got The Flash coming out on the 16th, and you've got Indiana Jones and Dial of Destiny coming out on the 30th. It's going to be very difficult to make a lot of money. So all of those four movies I just said, they're all going to be front-loaded because they are going to be the newest things. A lot of it's going to depend on word of mouth too, okay? Because if they said, oh, wow, this is really good, that's like, I think, and we'll get to it another time, but I think Spider-Verse is low, okay? It's an Academy Award-winning film, okay, for animation, and everybody's, you know, everybody's talking about this being a little darker and a little deeper, but really, really good. So I think this is going to do really well, and it's especially, it hits everybody, right? You know, it's at 70, it's, you know, it's set in the piece, 70% of the cast or 70% of the demographics are female. So I think that's important too. And we're starting to get movies now. We're going to get another one in July, Barbie, that are everybody can go to. While your boyfriend can go to Oppenheimer, you can go to Barbie. While they go to The Little Mermaid, you can go see Across the Spider-Verse. So, I mean, there's a whole range of things out there for everybody. But I think this is going to do really well. So, anyways, guys, what do you think about this? What do you think about the tracking numbers for The Little Mermaid making $10 million over the Wednesday and Thursday? Do you think it's unjustified? Do you think they should count it in the weekend box office? Or do you think they should just leave it be? Let me know your thoughts down in the comments, and I'll get back to everybody. Okay. So we move from one story to another. I shouldn't say story, major blockbuster. I wouldn't call The Little Mermaid a blockbuster, but we do go from one film that's starting out in May to another one. We're going to go all the way to July. And I have raved about this movie for months and months and months and months. I think it's going to be the number one box office sensation. I think it's going to do huge numbers. I think it could even do $1 billion. And I was right on a couple of these things before. And I'm talking about Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. This has so many things going for it. Okay. Number one, it's coming out right in the heartbeat of the summer in July. Okay. That's first and foremost. Number two, you've got the Tom Cruise goodwill of Maverick behind it. Okay. Number three, you have the Part One moniker, which means there is going to be another part. We are going to be getting it next year. And this is going to be non-stop action. Okay. The reason I bring this up is because ING, and normally I don't use them, but they are the ones that broke the story, so I'm going to give them credit where credit is due. ING came up with the exclusive that of the runtime. So ING broke the story about the Dead Reckoning Part 1 runtimes revealed. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 has officially locked in its runtime. And it's the longest Mission Impossible yet, but still shorter than certain rumors. ING can exclusively reveal that Dead Reckoning Part 1 will clock in at 2 hours and 36 minutes without credits. And that's important because when we always talk about movies, let's say we say a movie is, 2 hours and 15 minutes. Okay. The fact is that you always are going to have that, I give it a 5 to 7, and you know, Marvel films probably a little bit more, window of credits. And of course, they want to make you stick around. So, but it's about 5 to 7 minutes. So that's important. 2 hours and 36 minutes without credits. Pushing it just past 2018's Mission Impossible Fallout, which had a runtime of 2 hours and 27 minutes. Director and co-writer Christopher McQuarrie confirmed earlier this week that he had a locked picture on Dead Reckoning Part 1's Instagram. So he put out, and I actually did a story about this, okay? McQuarrie had actually put out this cryptic picture. We don't know what it is. We know it's a lock. We don't know what's behind the door or if it's a closet or whatever it is, but we know that's a lock. And, okay, we can pretty much deduce this is going to be the MacGuffin, okay, of the whole film. And, of course, we see Tom Cruise here after what I imagine would be a battle with the bad guys. And I have no inside knowledge about this, guys, just speculation. I imagine is a battle with the bad guys, and they think they got away with it. And Cruise says, oh, by the way, I've got it right here. So my guess is that the next scenes following this, you're going to see them try to get to this location right here to try and unlock whatever it is. And as you can see, the shape of the lock is the same shape as the key that Tom is holding. So that's important to know too. So that little key, what he's holding, is what we call a MacGuffin. So a MacGuffin is, it could be the key here, it could be the Ark in Raiders of the Lost Ark, it could be the Infinity Stones in Infinity War, it could be any number of things. Think about, when I say this, I mean like action adventure. They're not in drama. Sometimes they are, but usually it's what the antagonist and the protagonist and the antagonist are fighting over. So, as I said, Raiders of the Lost Ark, you've got the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, you've got Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, you have this key. You have the Infinity Stones with Thanos and the Avengers. So whatever it is, okay, that's what a MacGuffin is. So whenever you hear that term, go, what is it? That's what you're looking for. Okay, so back to the piece. The runtime of Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 has been the subject of plenty of speculation, especially from Paramount Global President Bob Bakish, commenting in March that the movie is, quote, a complete thrill ride, but was still, quote, too long at that point. And that came from IndieWire. In recent weeks, rumors have begun to swirl about what the runtime could look like. As recently as earlier this week, an unconfirmed but widely circulated tweet claimed that it would come in at 2 hours and 45 minutes, which is not the case. The Mission Impossible series has seen slowly increasing runtimes, following a Hollywood trend that more and more blockbusters are clocking in at 2.5 hours. So, think about John Wick, right? John Wick was around two. The latest John Wick was about 2 hours and 45 minutes. Avatar, you want to call that a blockbuster? 3 hours and 12 minutes. Infinity War was 2 hours and 58 minutes. Endgame was 3 hours. Babylon was 3 hours. So you're saying a lot of these runtimes go up. The first Mission Impossible back in 1996 had a runtime of 1 hour and 50 minutes, modest by 2023 standards, and climbed to 2 hours and 4 minutes for Mission Impossible 2. Mission Impossible 3 was comparable with a runtime of 2 hours and 6 minutes, while Ghost Protocol hopped up to 2 hours and 13 minutes. Rogue Nation bucked the trend slightly with a runtime of 2 hours, or under 2 hours, a runtime under 2 hours. Ghost Protocol, before hitting the series high, would fall out. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning is the seventh installment in the Tom Cruise franchise and will hit theaters on July 12th, having recently been pushed up 2 days. Of course, they did that at CinemaCon because they were so confident about that, and they showed about 20 minutes of footage. According to the official synopsis, now this is an official synopsis. This is no spoilers. I want to be absolutely crystal clear about this. It will see Cruise's Ethan Hunt and the IMF team, quote, embark on their most dangerous mission yet to track down a new terrifying weapon that threatens all of humanity before it falls in the wrong hands, end quote. In addition to Cruise, Dead Reckoning Part 1 stars Haley Atwell, Vin Rames, Simon Pegg, Rebecca Ferguson, Elias Morales, Vanessa Kirby, Pom Kalmanoff, and Henry Zarin. In the sequel, and then the second one is set for June 28th of 2024. Okay, so a couple things. Number one, I like the fact that we're getting longer runtimes, okay? Because it means more story. Now, I've always said this. I'm all about story, okay? My thing is this. I don't want this to be dragging on and on and on, okay? A couple of things with these franchise-ending films. Number one, you have to end it in the right place, okay? There are films that have done it very well, franchises that have done very well, and then there are those that have not done it so well. I always go back to it, but take Infinity War. Infinity War was one of those films that was split into two parts that did it magnificently. If I watched the director commentary on this, and what Joe and Anthony Russo had said is, it was a tragedy. It wasn't, you know, what it was. That being said, the other thing too, it has to fit the story, right? So I don't want to see this be, you know, have like a 2 hour and 10 minute thing, and they could have added 10 minutes more, okay? I want to see this exactly where the story is. Number two, and by the way, that was a major risk for them. Not that it was financially, okay, but where they ended the film. So there is a plot point called the point of no return. And anybody who's ever seen any movie, okay, knows exactly what I'm talking about. It's a plot point in which the hero, okay, looks like everything is lost. So they're not going to get to their goal, or they're not going to make their jump, or whatever it is, okay? And that being said, that is what it is. So it's called the point of no return. And that's what Infinity War did. They ended it right at the point of no return. And the villain won. You never see that. Because you always see the hero come back and beat the villain. Not in this part. Okay? So it ends, of course, with Thanos sitting out there on his planet and Titan and basically looking up and smiling. So it's going to depend on where they did it. They end this. Now, a franchise that did not do it well, in my opinion, is The Hunger Games. It didn't work. So when we started the second Hunger Games, you had, you know, the male character. They rescued him, and the whole thing was, you know, he was trying to get better. It didn't work. So you have, you know, Harry Potter did it well too. So that being said, we are now, it's all going to depend on where they end this. Okay. And 2 hours, 36 minutes is a good piece. I think you're probably going to see right around the same runtime of the next movie, if I had to guess. Just speculation. Because they want to keep it in equal, right around an equal amount. I mean, they're not going to make the last one 3 hours. They're just not. Okay? They'll make the last one probably like 2 hours and 20 some odd minutes. Okay? Because they want to keep it right around the same runtime so they don't feel like, because you want to split it right down the middle. All that being said, I think it's a good runtime. I think it's a good runtime. And I think that it's one of these things where, and that's the other thing too about Mission Impossible. It's fast pace. You're always moving. I mean, you are going to have your set pieces, okay? Whether it is them fighting on the train or you see the jump, you know, at the end of the very first trailer over a year ago now. But you see the very first, you know, trailer with the motorcycle jump, whatever else. You're going to have your set pieces. And then you're going to have your slow times. Them in dialogue heavy and everything else. So it's going to be very interesting to see. I think this is the right runtime. And as I said, I can't wait for this. This is going to be the absolute movie of the summer. And by the way, guys, stay tuned because I am doing a Mission Impossible rewatch series right now. I am on Mission Impossible 3. You can go check out the other two on the channel. And by the time July 12th comes around, I will have gone through all of the other Mission Impossible films, and I will have done videos on them and everything else. And by the way, speaking of, and I was just talking about this earlier, this is another one of those films we just saw, you know, The Little Mermaid, you know, open selectively. This is a movie that moved up 2 days. Okay. That's how confident they are. So, yeah, I think this is going to be phenomenal. I don't think you're going to, I think it's always going to be interesting because the only way you're going to be able to really take this in, okay, is take it in, watch it a couple times, and then look back 5 years from now and be like, okay, which one was the best? And that's when we're all going to do the rankings of all of these. So anyways, guys, what do you think about the runtime of Mission Impossible? Is it too long? Is it too short? Where would you like to see it end? I know where I would like to see it. Leave me your thoughts down in the comments, and I will get back to everybody. Okay. So this is actually going to be, looks like it's probably going to be an abbreviated show. So we have two more stories, and they're relatively big stories, okay? So over the past 2 or 3 days, okay, I've been talking about box office predictions. You know, I did the Spider-Verse the other day. We just had Jeremy on talking about this movie. So guys, if you want to go back and get a little insight about this movie, go watch that. Anyways, the film I'm talking about, and I was talking about June earlier, okay, is going to be The Flash. This movie is, I think, easily, without a doubt, okay, on, if you say, what are your most anticipated movies of the year? This, without a doubt, hands down, is at least number one or number two on everybody's list. It's The Flash, it was Guardians of the Galaxy, and then maybe, you know, Across the Spider-Verse. But this movie has been, okay, so a few things. Number one, this has been made, okay, this has been what we call in the can. This has been locked up for over a year, okay? I mean, with reshoots and everything, this has been done for quite a long time. That being said, its opening, as it states there on the 16th of June, which is, excuse me, it's going to be interesting to see where, how much it makes opening weekend. So we have our first box office predictions. And I gotta say, I thought they would be more. So according to our good friend, Jeremy at The Wrap, who was just talking about this yesterday, literally 2 days ago, literally, we were talking about box office predictions for the Flash. And he says, okay, through his sources, it's going to be about 75 million plus. Okay. The first round of box office projections are in for Warner Brothers' The Flash. And after a year of struggles for DC movies, Andy Muschietti's time-warping film may bring a box office rebound through initial projections that are not as big as some theater owners and box office observers that would have liked. 3 weeks out from release, projections have The Flash earning an opening at least $75 million, lower than the $134 million of Matt Reeves' Batman in March of 2022, but better than the $67 million opening of Black Adam, and way better than the abysmal $30 million that Shazam! Fury of the Gods made. Rival distributors tell The Wrap that they expect projections to increase as the film's June 16th date gets closer. Both publicly and privately, Warner Brothers executives have shown immense confidence in The Flash. Studio insiders have told The Wrap that the film received rave scores from audience test screenings, and the film's public screenings at CinemaCon last month was met with positive reaction from movie theater owners. The question as a marketing for the film ramps up is whether the film can build enough audience word of mouth along with Gen X nostalgia for Michael Keaton as Batman to get fans excited for the blockbuster starring Ezra Miller as The Flash as he uses his power to prevent the death of his mother but creates a catastrophe that threatens the multiverse. The film will need good reviews from both audiences and critics as a weak reception for Black Adam and Shazam 2 combined with James Gunn's upcoming reboot of DC Studios has taken a blow to mainstream audience interest in this franchise. Further complicating things is Miller's public outbursts and run-ins with the law, which happened last year after the production of The Flash, which includes reshoots, was completed. Usually, mainstream audiences are familiar with an actor's personal scandals, to the point that it has very little impact, box office impact, but it's difficult to predict whether Miller's publicized arrest of history and history of erratic and violent behavior will influence how the public talks about the film. Miller's performance takes up a great degree of The Flash that one would even expect for the lead star of a superhero film, as he spends much of his time, much of the runtime playing both Barry Allen's and an alternate timeline version of Barry interacting with one another. Also come out during a crowd-pleasing period for theaters, sharing a June 16th release date with the family-focused movie Pixar's film Elemental, which we touched upon the other day, and hitting theater 1 week after Transformers Rise of the Beasts. The Flash will have a second weekend free of any serious competition. Wes Anderson's Asteroid City is supposed to be the top release of the 23rd, before Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny hits theaters on the 30th. Okay, let's talk about this. So before we go any further, Kevin says this. Summer domestic box office, Indiana Jones, Dial Destiny, Little Mermaid, Guardians 3, Mission Impossible, Spider-Man, The Flash, Elemental, Barbie, Haunted Mansion. So I would say, I think that, so we already know what's going to happen with Guardians, okay? Guardians is going to be, that's doing really well. I mean, that made about $30 million this last weekend, and that's going to have some staying power. I think that Indiana Jones has, a couple of things, and Jeremy touched on one of the things in the piece, okay, is that you have a film, this is the second film of three, okay, in which you have 2 weeks to really do its thing, okay? Number one was Guardians of the Galaxy 3, okay? That had the 5th and the 12th. This is going to have the 16th and the 23rd, as he touched upon. And then Mission Impossible is going to be the other one with the July, you know, or I'm sorry, Indiana Jones is going to be the third one. Because it's going to have the 30th and then the next weekend, which July 4th, right around there. I think that it's going to be interesting. I think Spider-Man, okay, Across the Spider-Verse, to your point, Kevin, I think that's going to do really, really well. Okay. Barbie, I don't know. I really like that last trailer. I'm kind of in on it. I don't know. Haunted Mansion, I haven't heard anything about. Like, zero. So I'm really curious to see how that whole thing is going to work with that. That all being said, I think it's interesting because, okay, you have a movie like this, and it's one of those things. I've said months ago, okay, that I thought Shazam would be a litmus test for The Flash, okay? And that being, because it is a DC product, it is, you know, everything else. That all being said, it's going to be very, it's, you know, he touched on a lot of good things in that piece. Number one, you know, it's going to have 2 weeks. Number two, it's really going to have a huge Thursday night opening. Okay. I really believe that. Metal says Spider-Man might do a billion or at least 800 million. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I believe that. I mean, I don't know about, that's a touch high, Metal. I think that I would probably say like 6 or 7, only because there's so much out there. I mean, don't forget, you're going to have Transformers. You're going to have this. You're going to have Indiana Jones. You're going to have Michelle. I think, and, you know, I mean, we talked about this the other day on the interview, is not much, but I think some of these movies are going to get cannibalized, okay, because there's so much there. One misstep by any one of these movies and that other movie the prior week is just going to gobble up that box office. So, but the good news is for Spider-Verse, it is at the beginning of the month. But there's something interesting about that, the piece that he wrote, and that was this. He said 75 million, but it's expected to go up. So my feeling is this. If this doesn't make $100 million opening weekend, okay, I think it's a failure. I gotta be honest. I gotta be honest with you, because we have heard so much, and I'm not talking, forget about Tom Cruise saying it's a great film and Stephen King. They can say whatever they want, okay? I'm talking about your average run-of-the-mill moviegoer like you guys there, myself, and everybody else. That being said, if this doesn't make $100 million opening weekend, okay, I think it's a failure. I really do. And the reason I say that is because it's not going to have any room to breathe. Now, I'm not saying it's going to make $200 million opening weekend, okay? But it has to make more than 75. If it makes 85 to 90, that's much better than it was, okay? And if it could even hit 100, which, look, we've seen movies out there that they said, oh, it's only going to make this, and it blew up. So, as I said at the start of the piece, okay, this is one of those movies that it's always one of the top one or two or three films. I mean, it was always The Flash, Across the Spider-Verse, Guardians of the Galaxy. Always. In that, I mean, you know, mix them up any way you want. But I think 75, it's got to do something more than 75. It has to. Because moving forward, if this doesn't make if it doesn't make a good amount here in the States to start, it's got to make all that stuff over the seas. Or this is considered a failure. And I mean, James Gunn he hasn't come out and said it, but we can kind of read between the lines and say Gal is not going to come back, or Momoa is not going to come back and play Aquaman or whatever. Now, he hasn't said that, but this is supposed to be the last film to reset everything. Everything. So I really, if, and there is a whole other dilemma here, okay? If Sasha Colvin, and I believe her, that's her name, I may have gotten it wrong, forgive me, if she is good as Supergirl, and by the way, this premiered at CinemaCon, so all of the movie theater owners, if this is good, do you keep her on? I mean, so there's a number of different questions that are going to be out there for this. I'm excited. Now, I'm not a comic book person per se. I am excited to see this, though. Number one, I want to see how good it is. I mean, some of the people comparing this to The Dark Knight, and I went, whoa, slow your roll, because, I mean, we're going to be doing the Dark Knight for Perfect Movies in June, but it's a Dark Knight is a perfect movie. Sorry. I can't see, there are very few films that get to that status of perfect. Maybe I would put Logan in there, very close to it. I would put Infinity War in there, close to it. Yeah. So it's one of those things where we'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see. If this, but 75, I think, is a bit, look, if this doesn't make $100 million opening weekend, I hate to say it, my eyes, and look, the reason why I say that is this. So Metal says, Endgame. You know, and I hear that. I hear that argument all the time, Metal. And the thing is, at the end of the day, when push comes to shove, Endgame is just a time travel movie. That's all it is. I mean, Infinity War, the thing about Infinity War was this, okay? That you had this villain in Thanos that you had not seen for 20 some odd films, almost 10 years. You'd only seen him twice, the whole other time. And that being said, you finally got to see Thanos in his entirety. And he was a badass. And that's what people wanted. But Endgame was just, it was a time. I mean, you definitely, just like any other movie, you can basically definitely know when the three acts are going to be. Act one was them trying to figure out the time heist. Act two was a time heist. And then act three was a major battle. So, but what I'm saying about The Flash compared to this is emotion. If it is an emotional charge, I could see it not being perfect like The Dark Knight, but really doing well. Anyways, what do you guys think about The Flash? Are you excited to see The Flash? Do you have any desire to see The Flash? How many times are you going to go see it? Leave me your thoughts down in the comments, and I will get back to everybody. Okay, so we have one final story. So as we all know, okay, we have the strike going on. And with this strike comes stoppages in productions. We've had many, many actually stop. And that being said, okay, so let's see what we have here. So as we all know, we've had the strike just throw everything into a haywire, okay? And all of these productions just shut down. So Blade shut down a couple weeks ago, and another one just shut down the other night. And that's the Thunderbolts. And the Thunderbolts is one of those films that everybody was looking forward to in Phase 5. And it's one of those things where this throws a wrench into everything for Marvel, because now you have not only the Thunderbolts shut down, you have Blade shut down, okay? And this is going to, so here is the tentative schedule, okay? This is actually a blessing and surprise, but way down the road. So this is the schedule that Marvel had put up, okay? So as we can see here, Quantumania already came out. What If was always going to be streaming, so don't worry about that. Loki 2, season 2, we know that's going to be coming out in October. So that's going to have a little. Agatha. We've got Fantastic Four coming out. Okay. We've got Secret Invasion, of course, coming out in about a week or so. And I will definitely try. No promises, guys, but I'll definitely sit down and watch it, and I will definitely try and cover that. So we've already had a couple of these shut down, okay? So you have Blade, which is already shut down, okay? Daredevil, okay, I'm not sure, but that is a lot of episodes to it. I believe that's shut down. And now you have the Thunderbolts, okay? So, I mean, Ms. Marvel, so this is incorrect. Ms. Marvel is coming out in November, okay? But that being said, so July, this is supposed to be coming out in a year, okay? Now, which I just had Jeremy on the other day, and we were talking about this. And I said, how much is the strike going to hurt? And he was telling me that basically you're possibly looking until the end of the summer, at least June, the end of June. Okay. And that's huge. Okay. Because if they strike, if one of those other unions strike, now you've got the actors and the writers on strike. Okay. So Kevin says Secret Invasion. They definitely will. I have no doubt in my mind. You're absolutely right about that, Kevin. You're absolutely right about that. So that's something to be considered. That being said, okay, so the Thunderbolts is supposed to come out in July of next year. Okay. We already know Blade's going to be shut down. Okay. So assuming that this, and I'm being optimistic when I say this, assuming that this deal gets done by August, okay, now everybody's going to get back to work. There's no way that they're going to be able to put all of this together by November, which means that that's going to get pushed back even further. My guess is you're probably talking about a 2024 release for Blade, okay, if I had to guess, okay? The Daredevil thing, that's on streaming, although I could see them, you know, pushing that back just to be safe, okay? There's no way Captain America is coming out May 3rd of next year. There's no way. There's no way. Okay, even though they were filming and everything else, it depends on how close they were to finishing principal photography, right? Okay. Then you have Thunderbolts coming out in July. I can't see that. I think that's probably going to get moved to either November, okay, or early 2025. That could take February 2025. Now, if we look here again, okay, we got a couple more of these here, okay? You have Fantastic Four coming out November of 2024, okay? And then you have Kang Dynasty in 2025. So this is prior to that. So this is the Secret Wars is probably going to come out in 2026, okay? As a matter of fact, I can tell you right now. So they have moved Secret Wars to 2026, and it's going to be May of 2026. Okay, that might keep its release date. Now, so I want to get to the piece that I was just referring to. So I was trying to lead up to it. Okay, so that is your basis for that. Okay, so let's jump in the piece here. And this comes to us from the Hollywood Reporter. Okay, and so this was actually going to start filming in Atlanta next month. The ongoing writer's strike has caused Marvel Studios to delay production on a second feature. A few weeks after the studio decided to press pause on Blade, Marvel has opted to hold off filming on Thunderbolts. The THR is confirmed. The hope is to begin production after the strike, which has also caused Marvel to stop filming the TV series Wonder Man. Deadline first reported that news. Beef creator Lee Sung-jin was the most recent writer on the Thunderbolts, working on an earlier draft from Black Widow writer Eric Pearson. Jeff Schreider is directing the project. Thunderbolts centers on a team of Marvel's shadier characters. That shot is actually them at Comic-Con. So it's going to be casting Florence Pugh as Yelena, Sebastian Stan as the Winter Soldier, David Harbour as the Red Guardian, Wyatt Russell as the United States agent, Hannah John Kerman as the ghost. The ghost was from Ant-Man and the Wasp, the second film. Okay, you have the Taskmaster in there, and then Julia Louis-Dreyfus's character. The bear breakout, Aaron Edinburgh, an Oscar nominee, Stephen Yeun also star in the feature. Marvel is still in production on Captain America New World Order, and a third Deadpool movie has recently begun production in London. The writer's strike, which began at the top of the month, indefinitely delayed Lionsgate's film, Good Fortune. So I think what you're going to see is, even though New World Order is still going, because if we go back to this chart here, okay, look where that's supposed to be coming out, May of 2024, okay? Blade also actually got halted. I mean, it all depends on really how far they were into it. Okay, so with New World Order, okay, they were in production. So let's see. That movie is in production as we speak. Okay, that is from IMDb Pro. Okay, Blade is... The Blade is, they shut down Blade. So I think that's going to be close. They were actually in production or in pre-production. Daredevil. I want to look into Daredevil real quick, because what this is going to do, guys, is this is going to mess up the whole schedule. So Born Again is actually in production. Okay. And so obviously Kang Dynasty is quite long way out. They haven't even started casting for Fantastic Four. So this isn't going to really start hitting home until maybe 6 months. It's going to be fascinating. I mean, I agree with you. I read David Harper's Red Guardian. He was great in Black Widow. So it's one of those things where I think that you're right. I need to see a trailer, but I think it's so far out there. They need to get this done. And that's why I keep saying to people, they need to get this done now and, you know, finish it, pay the people who need to get paid and take care of this. But otherwise all of this stuff, okay, is going to get pushed back. We know Loki is going to come out. That's not an issue, but after Loki, they have nothing. So it's going to be, now the reason why I said this was a blessing in disguise is because, of course, we have the whole Jonathan Majors thing right now. So he goes back to court on June 9th, I think. Could be wrong about the date. It's right in the first week of June. And depending on what happens with him, okay, you're either going to keep him on or let him go, which means you're going to be able to find another actor, which means you're going to be able to film it, which means a bunch of other stuff. Didn't they drop Ironheart and they said they were going to release all the episodes for Echo and Binge Watch? I don't know, to be absolutely honest with you. I wouldn't be shocked. But see, to your point, Metal, here's the thing. This is what makes Disney Plus so much better than Netflix, okay? Because here's the thing. The fact is that the major difference between Netflix and Disney Plus, if you look at WandaVision, and I always go back to this reference, if you go look at WandaVision, when WandaVision started, it built its audience up, right? Because it was a different show, okay? In which case, that being said, they said, okay, and it slowly started to get better and better and better. And when it did, it started to grow and grow and grow. And by the time that show is done, it was the number one streaming show in the world. Okay? That had a major thing to do with it. If they drop all of their episodes, I mean, look at The Mandalorian. Look at any Disney Plus show you can think of that's weekly, that's episodic. You know, I was listening to an old podcast the other day, which, by the way, guys, I am putting back up. But that being said, that's Netflix's business model. They will never do that because they know they have everybody eating out of the palm of their hand. Because if you put, let's say they drop all the episodes. Let's say it's 7 episodes, okay? You binge it all in one weekend. Gone. It's done. 3 months from now, you're not talking about it because it's all out there, right? Now, it's great for media guys and, you know, guys like me because I binge it all and then do the videos. But for you guys, it's one of those things where you want to know, you kind of want to think what's happening next. You want to speculate. You want to guess. Maybe you're right. Maybe you didn't see whatever was coming. But that's the model that they need to use. And that's one of the biggest things that Netflix doesn't do. And I can't see Disney just saying, oh, I'm going to drop this all at once. I just can't see that. So, I mean, if they ever do that, it will be for a show that is really, I don't want to say inconsequential, but it's going to be for a show that they know isn't going to do well. So they'll just go, here's everything I got. So, so what do you guys think about Thunderbolts and that production stopping? How many other projects in Marvel do you think are going to get pushed back because of this? What do you think is going to happen because of it? Let me know your thoughts down in the comments, and I will get back to everybody. Okay, so that is going to do it for today. So it was really kind of brief, actually. But there were 4 big stories we had. And I think that's the important thing, is that, you know, you guys are actually coming and seeing this stuff and knowing about this stuff because, you know, it's tough to, you know, that's part of the job I have is to go scour the trades, Twitter and everything else. And, you know, I want to bring you guys the best content I can. And because of that, you know, there are a couple of things. What I was going to say off the top, I'm going to quickly say right now. Number one, I'm getting the podcast back up and running. Right now, I just put up April 21st show. So if you guys are unable to, you know, sit down and watch here, okay, you'll all go to your favorite podcasting site, whether it's Apple or it's Spotify or it's iHeart or whatever it is, you'll be able to see that. Just look for that little picture there and you'll be able to get that. I'm about a month behind. I've got a bunch of shows to do. I'm going to put up all the spoiler casts. Everything's going to be out there. You know, if you don't remember what it is, Google David Steele for a second. Mission Impossible rewatch series. I'm going to be sitting down Monday, and I should say this now. Monday is Memorial Day, so I'm going to take Monday off, do a lot of catch-up stuff, put podcasts up, record a couple things, take care of that, but I'll be back on that Tuesday. So the Mission Impossible rewatch series, I'm on Mission Impossible 3 right now. And so, as I said when I did this piece, by July 12th, everything will be up. Number 3, if you want to support me, there's a number of different ways to do it. You can hit the join button. It's less than $3 a month. You can, you know, drop a super chat in there, and that would be much appreciative. Or you can go to my Patreon. We got 2 levels, $5 and $10. $5 is Mob Mondays. $10 is Rewatch Wednesdays, and you get Mob Mondays. You're going to be getting, so this month, you're going to be getting the Untouchables and Training Day. And so I will be doing those. Perfect Movies. Perfect Movies have been going up since the beginning of the year. And I've done great films. That's all I'm putting up there is top quality films. Silence of the Lambs, The Social Network, you know, Heat, all these great films. June is going to be The Dark Knight. I want to do a blockbuster for blockbuster season. That's just stay tuned, guys. And, you know, we got a ton of spoiler casts coming up this season. You know, Across the Spider-Verse, The Flash, Mission Impossible, Oppenheimer, all these movies, you're going to be doing that. So the least I ask is that please, you hit that like and subscribe button and tell your friends about this show and everything else. And I am going to be making a concerted effort to try and get on other shows, to try and get other ears and other eyes on this, so you guys are not the only ones. And I do appreciate everybody that stops by, even for a split second, but do hit that like and subscribe button because it does mean a lot, and it helps the algorithm. Okay, guys, so that's going to do it for today. Do the 3 things you need to do. Be safe, be careful, and have a great rest of the day. I'm David Steele, and you have been watching Real Talks. Bye-bye, guys.